Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 20th day of June 2026. Welcome to those that are here in the room, those that are joining us on the phone or listening to the recording, and glad to have you in fellowship, dear ones. As I mentioned earlier, I have a little bit of news. It was 2 weeks ago that we released our new book, Battle of the Gods Over Music. You can find this on our website at lightministries.com. Drop down to books and then drop down to find the new book. It has the word new on it. Makes it easier to see. Or you can go to our music section. And then click on History of Music, and that will then pull up the same book. And so that was about 2 weeks ago, praise the Lord. And Thursday, Sister Joan had a doctor's appointment, so we took her to the doctor's appointment, actually two doctor's appointments. And we got some excellent news that Mom's kidneys are working almost twice as good as they were working since the last blood draw to check the kidney function. So almost twice as good since her pacemaker was initiated. She had oblation of the atrial node that connects to the ventricle, so the atrium is no longer the pacemaker of the heart. Now there's a battery-powered pacemaker. So that was about 6 weeks ago, and as a result, her kidneys started functioning almost twice as good as what was before. So we were praising God for that. As we were leaving the last doctor's appointment, Sister Michelle fell onto the cement. There was a little lip, between the seams, the joints of the cement slabs. Her toe caught it and she fell down hard. It was amazingly hard. I mean, it seemed like there was someone pushing her down, but there was no one there, but us. Both Mom and I heard how hard she hit. And so I stopped pushing Mom. Michelle was right next to me. There were other hospital workers that were nearby. They saw what happened, or at least were aware of what happened. One of them quickly came over, and with his help, we were able to stand Michelle back up. But she couldn't stand or bear weight on her left leg. So I took Mom to the car and brought her wheelchair back. We put Michelle in the wheelchair. She could not bend her left leg. Her glasses were scratched up. Her face had a little bit of abrasion on it, but praise God, her glasses kind of took the brunt of the abrasion so that she didn't have any injury higher up. Her mouth and teeth were spared, so praise God for that. There wasn't any significant injury there. Her hand, she put out her hand instinctively. Three of the fingers, these three, were pushed back and were sprained. They were swelling. We thought maybe she had broken one of her fingers. X-rays were taken. The X-rays showed no breakage in her fingers, so it was just sprained. But the x-ray revealed that she fractured her kneecap, so she broke her kneecap. The fracture turned out not to be all the way through the kneecap, so there was no danger of the kneecap itself being deformed. But there was a fracture there. So they put her in a knee brace, not a cast, but a knee brace, and as soon as the knee brace was on, the pain subsided. It still hurt, right? But it wasn't as bad as it was, because now she could not move her leg and affect the area where her kneecap was broken. So, amen. Merciful Savior. It could have been so worse, but it was amazing to me how hard she hit just from falling. So we suspect the devil's angry at the History of Music book going out, exposing music all the way back to Babylon and showing the difference between God's preferred musical style versus the devil's. And he was venting his anger on our dear sister Michelle. So she greatly appreciates your prayers. This was just this past Thursday, so a couple days ago. The swelling is beginning to go down in her hand, so she's able to now bend it, whereas before she wasn't. Not bend it all the way, but at least some. As long as the brace is on, her knee pain is greatly reduced, but she still has pain. So she appreciates your prayers in that regard. So we got good and bad news from Thursday. We got the excellent news that Sister Joan is doing much better, kidney function wise. And then the bad news about Sister Michelle falling. So it's going to be 6 weeks of healing until she'll be able to resume walking. And hopefully there wasn't any other kind of injury to the tendons and the ligaments that are in that sensitive area. We won't know that yet, but at least it's not as bad as it could have been. So thank you so much for your prayers for our dear sister, and praise God for his preventing the devil from doing something worse, which was his intention, right? Praise God for intervening and only allowing it to be as it is. So, praise God for his mercy and for his loving kindness. So that's the announcement. And thank you so much for your thoughts and warm regards and kind words. It's greatly appreciated. Our opening song is titled, Jesus is All the World to Me. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. Following him by day and night, he is my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life is such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend.
Amen. He's proven that he's our best friend, because it's your best friend that would sacrifice his life to save you. And that's what Jesus did. And thank you, Savior. Dear ones, please join me for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for providing salvation through Jesus to each and every one of us. And Father, we meet here in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we pray that your presence will be here with us, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. And please allow the atmosphere of light and joy and peace and contentment that surrounds you and your throne to surround each listening heart just now. We pray that our hearts will be prepared to receive the outpouring of the blessing that you have in store just for such a time as this. And we pray that your Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. And dear Holy Spirit, please also reprove and correct us where we're not understanding properly. And please reveal to us the truth. Reveal to us our Savior, our best friend, our mighty God. Help us to see him as never before. Help us to indeed behold him in whom our hopes of salvation are centered, the Lamb of God that takes away our sins and gives us his righteousness. We also pray, dear Spirit, that you'll remove the stumbling blocks, any barriers. Keep distractions away, that there will be nothing that prevents us from hearing the truth, and please also prevent the devil from snatching it away. For we want this truth. We want the word of God, a thus saith the Lord, written in our hearts and minds, to be fixed there, to become the foundation of our character. And thank you so much for making it all possible. And dear Savior, we pray that you will dispel darkness in our hearts and help us to see clearly the truth, the righteousness that you're the author of. Come dwell with us, sup with us, and us with you today. And thank you so very much for not holding yourself aloof from us, but desiring to come and be united with us, to dwell with us. We long and crave your company. And we thank you for being with us and for indeed helping us to come into that knowledge of truth and be able to follow it with your grace and divine power and indeed reveal ourselves to be sons and daughters of the Most High. Thank you, Savior, for delivering us from error, delivering us from sin, from darkness, from unrighteousness, and having our feet solidly placed upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. We also pray, dear Savior, that as you're the great physician, that you'll be with our dear sister Yi Yi in making sure that she is healed up completely from the fall that she sustained. Also, our dear sister Michelle, that she also may be healed completely from the fall that she sustained. And thank you, Father, for intervening and allowing these incidents to be less than the devil wanted them to be to our dear beloved sisters in Christ. We also pray, dear Savior, that you'll deliver every one of those who look to thee for healing grace, whether mental, physical, or spiritual ailments. And thank you that your will is the wisest and the best course to occur in each one of our lives. Thank you for such love, and we love you too. So we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being in our midst, precious Godhead. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God for Jesus. Well, this is part 6 in our series, Becoming Righteous. And throughout this series, we've so far learned that after we've confessed and repented of all our sins, that God freely forgives us, we then become justified and clothed in the righteousness of Christ by faith alone. We are accepted as being the sons and daughters of God as if we had never sinned at all. We're also given the grace and the strength and the shining armor of God to use in standing and fighting the good fight of faith, fending off all the attacks of the devil, and are then to walk forward and upward in the newness of life in this process of sanctification and righteousness through faith and works combined. We've discovered that we're also to walk after the Spirit and not after our old life in the flesh with our habits of sin and character defects. So we're to rise above these. And we've also seen that we cannot walk in the Spirit and at the same time fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We've also understood last Sabbath that Christ makes up for our deficiencies and defects of character with his perfect righteousness when we do our best to obey the will of God. So then how much does God in Christ love you and want you to be saved and to be with them throughout eternity? It's more than just a tremendous amount. It's a stupendous amount of love. But as amazing as this plan of our salvation is, and all that God in Christ have already provided for each one of us, it even goes beyond what we've already learned. There's more. The Godhead have provided more help to each one of us so that we can be saved and not lost. And today we're going to learn about what they do provide more than what they already have so that we can be saved. We're going to learn about that today. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1447.htm. So lightministries.com/SDA/ID1447.htm. And thank you, sister, for putting the link in the room. So if you look at quote number one, how many of us can overcome by ourselves and our own strength and gain salvation? None of us can overcome. We're not strong enough. So how many of us can then overcome by ourselves in the strength and power of God and gain salvation? Again, no one. So we can't overcome by ourselves, even if we had the strength and power of God to do so. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. Is that where it stops? No. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So by ourselves, we can't do all things. But through Christ, we can, because He strengthens us. In Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So these verses reveal to us that we cannot overcome by ourselves. And it also reveals that God cannot overcome for us without our help. So we see that this overcoming is like a co-partnership. It's a combined union. It's a joint effort between God and you that will enable you to overcome and gain salvation. So by yourselves, you cannot overcome. Christ cannot overcome for you, but together, you can overcome. Well, let's think about this co-partnership for a moment. Since God has spent so much time, since He has sacrificed so much and exerted so much effort to provide you and me with justification and righteousness by faith, do you think that He would just abandon His now newly justified and righteous child to battle all alone against sin and the devil? He provided so much for you to be saved. Would He then just abandon you? No way. God loves you too much. And so since he loves you so much, he can't sit on the sideline and watch. He has to be involved. Now, after all the time, pain, and sacrifice that Christ endured to provide you with his precious robe of righteousness, do you think that Christ would just abandon you to battle all alone against sin and the devil as well? And the answer is no way. He also loves you too much to sit by himself on the sideline and watch you struggle against sin. Now, if you look at quote number two, from Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Working in you through Jesus Christ. So both God the Father and our Lord God Jesus Christ are actively working for your and my perfection and salvation. Remember that God is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Christ is working in you to do of God's good pleasure. So both God the Father and Jesus are working for your perfection and salvation, not outside of you, but in you, through you. But after all that we've done to both God and Jesus, and yet they still love us enough to sacrifice so much in order to save you and me, this is a mystery. Why do they love us so much? After all we've done against them, why do they love us so much? It's a mystery. If you look at quote number three, from Colossians 1, verses 26 to 29, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So God the Father worketh in you to do his will. But just how is God in you? Well, through Jesus Christ, who's the connecting link, the mediator between God and yourself, which is 1 Timothy 2:5. But we also read that Christ is in you the hope of glory. So, just how is Jesus in you? How does he work through you? And that's through the Holy Spirit, who's the representative of Jesus. If you look at quote number four, from John 14, verses 10 to 20. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, which would include helping you overcome all sin and character defects, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So, how does Christ come to you and me? Through the Holy Spirit. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. In 1 John 4:13 we're told, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And in 2 Timothy 1:14, the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So these verses reveal to us that God the Father works in us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus works in us through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works in us through the truth, the Word of God. So we see that all three mighty gods and beings in the Godhead are not just sitting on the sidelines watching you and me battle all alone against sin and the devil, but each have an active working in us so that we all together can fight this battle against sin and the devil. All of us together. So it's not just the Father working, and it's not just the Father and the Son working in us. It's also the Holy Spirit working in us. All three mighty gods of the Godhead are working in you and me to overcome. We're told in the Review and Herald of May 2nd, 1912. The Godhead was stirred with pity for the race, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave themselves to the working out of the plan of salvation. Gave themselves. Each one is their own person. If they made up just one person, it would be gave itself. But it says gave themselves. Each one is their own being, their own person. So it's not just our Father and Jesus that are working for our salvation, but it's also the Holy Spirit. So as long as we continue to walk and advance in the armor of God, working to please him through faith and continue holding on to and retaining the righteousness that was given to us by faith, justification, how could we fall or fail to gain the victory? We have three mighty gods helping us, working with us and through us to overcome. So as long as we remain faithful to God, how could we ever fall? How could we ever fail to gain the victory? It's not just one God, it's three. So that's why we're baptized in the name of all three of these mighty gods, so that each one has our permission to help us all along the pathway of overcoming. We're told in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So, we're baptized in the name of all three. What if we were baptized in the name of only one? What would that signify? That would signify that only that one God had our permission to help us from baptism all the way through to the end. What if we were baptized in the name of the Father, but not the Son and the Spirit? And that gave the Father permission to work through us overcoming. Could he do so? Could God the Father help us overcome without Jesus and the Spirit? The answer is no. If the Father came down to me personally, I'd be destroyed because I couldn't endure his glory. So there is no way that the Father himself could help me because he couldn't connect with me. What if we're baptized in the name of Jesus alone? Jesus, without the Father or the Spirit, could also not help us overcome. Because Jesus, by taking humanity, can't be everywhere at once. He lost his omnipresence ability. So Jesus is limited to where he physically is. And right now, he's our great high priest in the most holy place in heaven. So if we were baptized only in the name of Jesus, then only Jesus has our permission to aid us, and thus we'd be lost because Jesus can't be with us to aid us. So you can understand the reason why we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, because we need all three in order to help us. The Father comes to us through the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes to us through the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to us because we ask the Father to send him. So all three members of the Godhead are united. They're as one in the work of our salvation. If we try to leave one out, we're lost. We need all three in order for us to have divine power to become the sons and daughters of God. So without the Holy Spirit being in us, we would have neither Jesus or our Heavenly Father in us either. And that's why the Holy Spirit is called another comforter besides Christ, who is also our comforter. But the Spirit is another comforter. And amazingly, the Holy Spirit is also given to us as a free gift without cost from our Father. If you look at quote number 5, from Luke 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And in Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the Father sends the Holy Spirit to those who ask him for it for free. Can't buy him. One individual tried and was almost lost because he didn't understand. So, what kind of power do these three gods have as they work in you and me to overcome? It's obvious they have divine, infinite power. They're all powerful. So since we have this direct connection to their divine, infinite power working in us, then how many times can we gain the victory over sin and the devil? Would there be any limit? If it's infinite divine power, is there any limit to how many times we can overcome? No, there's no limit. It's infinite divine power. From 1 John 3:9, this is quote number 6. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So if you're born of God, you can't sin. Interesting. And the reason you can't sin is because his seed remains in you. So who represents this seed? You look at quote number 7. From Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee, that's the serpent or the devil, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, who bruised the head of the serpent or the devil? Remember, the seed will bruise the serpent's head. So who bruised the head of the serpent? You look at quote number 8. It was Jesus Christ, okay? And who bruised the heel of Jesus? It was the devil, because he crucified him on the cross. So Jesus bruised the head of Satan because he was superior to Satan in everything. He never once gave in to any of the devil's temptations, proving that he was superior to the devil, and that was enough to bruise the devil's head. And Satan bruised the heel of Christ, the heel of the seed, by crucifying him on the cross. So we see that this seed represents Jesus, and that's what we're told in Galatians 3:16. Thy seed, which is Christ. Now, if you look at quote number 9, before we were born again, what was our spiritual clothing, or what kind of garments were we dressed in? In Isaiah 64 verse 6, we're told, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." So before we're born again, we're clothed in filthy and sin-stained garments of unrighteousness. Now, please bear with me here. It gets a little intricate. The Hebrew word for filthy in Isaiah 64:6 is the word ed. And this word translates and means menstrual flux, soiling, filthy. That's from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 5708. And the Hebrew word for rags is beged. And this word translates and means clothing, cloth, garment, rag. And that's Strong's word number 899. So filthy rags literally means clothing or garments that have been soiled and made filthy by the menstrual flux of a woman's monthly cycle. That's what filthy rags means. Now, in Leviticus, it mentions that this menstrual issue of blood defiles and makes unclean everything that it comes in contact with. You can find this in Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 to 27. So these filthy rags is a very descriptive picture of someone contaminated with sin, which means any good deeds of righteousness which they might do would be contaminated with sin. And thus they could not be accepted by God, because their filthy garments had contaminated the good deed which they accomplished. The filthy garments contaminates everything it touches. So the good deeds that they performed were contaminated, and thus God couldn't accept them. Now, once we're born again, these filthy garments are removed from us. We're then cleansed and clothed in new garments, the garments of Christ's righteousness. And the seed, or Jesus Christ, is now planted within us. Remember, we're born of God. We have the seed. So Jesus is now planted within us. And when a woman becomes impregnated with seed, what happens to her menstruation cycle? It stops. And there's no more blood to defile her garments. So in this born-again condition, speaking spiritually now, in this born-again condition, we become, as it were, impregnated with the seed, or we have Jesus Christ living within us. In other words, we are united with divinity. And what happens when humanity and divinity are combined, are united together? We've already read it. Let's read it again. If you look at quote number 10 from 1 John 3:9, "Whosoever is born of God, humanity and divinity united, doth not commit sin." So once your weak efforts to obey God combines with the divine infinite strength and grace of Christ, what happens? You will not sin, but you will do the will of God. So you can then do the works of righteousness that would be accepted by God because you're no longer clothed in the filthy rags experience that you once had when living in sin and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. You're now born of God. Jesus is now within you by faith. And you will not commit sin because humanity and divinity combined does not commit sin. We're told in 2 Peter 1, verses 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So now, how much does God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit want you to be saved? Well, all of your confessed and forsaken sins are forgiven for free. You're given the precious robe of Christ's righteousness as a gift. You're freely accepted and embraced by God as being his real sons or daughters. You are provided without cost all the grace and strength in Christ necessary to fight against all sin and the devil. You're also freely given all the armor necessary to fend off all the attacks of the enemy. God prevents the devil from overwhelming you with too many attacks all at once so that you will not be overwhelmed and defeated. Christ even makes up for your deficiencies and defects of character with his righteousness as you do your best to overcome. And as we just learned, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit do not abandon you to fight the warfare alone, but they all work together in you, providing you with their divine infinite power so that you will no longer sin, but will do the will of God at all times. And as if you even needed further proof on how anxious your heavenly Father is that you be saved and not lost, God even hears and answers every one of your prayers to him before you have even finished saying them, especially those prayers where you're asking for his help. You look in quote number 11 from Isaiah 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, in other words, before they pray, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isn't that amazing, dear ones? So how much does God and Christ and the Holy Spirit want you to be saved? How much do they all love you and want you to be with them for eternity? It's more than just a tremendous amount. It's more than just a stupendous amount. It's an infinite amount. So if you fully understand and realize and appreciate all that the God have already provided you and are already personally doing through this glorious plan of your redemption and salvation so that you can be with them for eternity, if you really understood this, what would this knowledge lead you to say and to do? You know, it's already recorded. If you look at quote number 12 from Psalm 71 verses 15 and 16, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. In Isaiah 33 verse 5, the Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. In Jeremiah 51:10, the Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. God alone is praised, is exalted, is talked about. No self. It's nowhere to be seen. All flesh is grass, and the glory of it passeth away. But the word of our Lord endureth forever. The Lord, our, my righteousness. So the Lord is exalted. He dwelleth on high. He fills his people with judgment and righteousness. Our righteousness comes from the Lord. Let's declare to everyone the work of the Lord our God. Let's make mention of his righteousness, even his righteousness only. It's amazing, dear ones. So knowing this glorious plan of your salvation, and knowing all that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are personally doing so you can be saved, what did we read that you're to do? You're to show forth thy righteousness, his righteousness, and his salvation all the day. You're to go in the strength of the Lord God. But just how are you to go forth in the strength of the Lord? How are you to accomplish that? And that's what we're going to learn in our next series, the next part of this series. Just how to go in the strength of the Lord. It's an amazing plan of salvation, dear ones. It's amazing how much that the Godhead have done in order that you may be saved to be with them forevermore. Now, what's your part in this great plan? That's what we'll discover. And it's amazing the height and the depth of the love of God for you and me. Yeah, amen. Trust and obey. Yeah, we'll discover more. But their love is infinite. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. Our closing song is Love Divine. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every humble heart.
Breathe, oh breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find that we are bent to sinning, for God come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly returning, never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love.
Finish then thy new creation, pure and loving let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, and we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Amen. The Lord, our righteousness. Let us exalt the righteousness of our God. Let us spread far and wide the true loving nature of our Godhead in making possible our salvation in so many different ways. It is truly amazing, dear ones. And at the same time, it's a mystery. But it's a mystery that's been revealed to the extent that we can understand it. It's not fully revealed, but enough's revealed to where we can understand it and accept it and comply with it by and through faith. And then, after we're saved, we can study more into the mysteries of redeeming love from our Godhead throughout eternity. It's infinite love. Thus, there's eternity to study more about this love. And there's always more to find. It's a search, and every little bit that you discover more about the love of God just fills you with gratitude, appreciation, and greater love for your and my Godhead. What a marvelous journey. What a marvelous God. Please join with me in prayer. Father, it's hard to find words to describe your infinite love, your infinite sacrifice. And we pray, dear Spirit, that you will praise our Father and Savior with the words of God to more greatly approach giving them the praise that they deserve. Thank you, dear Godhead, for each of your sacrifice in order for me and others to be saved. Please forgive us for the slowness of our minds in understanding and appreciating. Forgive us for our lack of being more grateful than we are. And I pray that you will continue to open our understanding to greater and greater depth of this wonderful knowledge of this plan to save us. I also pray that we may have the grace and the divine power to be changed on an increasing daily advancement in drawing ever closer to the marvelous righteous character that we behold in the Godhead. We don't want to stop growing more like our Savior. We want to be ever increasing. And thank you that there's no limit to the divine power that you provide with us in achieving this goal to be like our Lord. Thank you that it's possible. Thank you that no matter how wretched we might be, in Jesus, we can become perfect more and more each day until we receive that perfect impress of the character of our Savior, making ourselves ready without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and thus prepared for our Savior's return to take us home as his precious bride. And thank you that this is available to all, not just to a select few. Dear Spirit, we pray that you'll forgive us for grieving thee, for doing despite to thee and resisting your efforts to lead us to a better life. Please don't leave us or forsake us. Please continue to soften and subdue our nature, to keep self hid and Jesus revealed, to keep Jesus enthroned in our heart, that we might not sin, but overcome. We don't want our filthy rag experience to return. We want to maintain our justification and righteousness. Thank you for making it all possible. Thank you for bringing our Father and Savior to be within us to overcome. And thank you, dear Godhead, for such a marvelous plan. Thank you for your love, and we love you too. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Divine love indeed, all other loves excelling. Dear ones, are there any thoughts, comments, questions, insights, testimonies, Anything else you'd like to share?
I like to sing a hymn that was prior to the other lesson before this one, it's called Treasures Forever. My hands that were full now are empty. My heart that was empty now is full overflowing. My wealth now is growing from what I leave behind. My mind that was troubled is at peace. My soul that was dying is alive, loving and living. At last I am giving, and giving now I find. Life, eternal life, my treasures are finally forever. Safe with my Lord and my Savior, I put my trust in Him. Life, eternal life, my treasures are finally forever. The riches of Christ will fail me never. I put my trust in Him. My joy in His goodness will not end. His bounteous blessings now are mine. Secure is my treasure, wealth without measure. Abundant is my store. My thanks to the Lord for His mercy, for each of the gifts He gives to me. Daily I'll praise Him, freely I'll bless Him, I thank my Savior for. Life, eternal life, my treasures are finally forever. Safe with my Lord and my Savior, I put my trust in Him. Life, eternal life, my treasures are finally forever. The riches of Christ will fail me never. I put my trust in Him.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. That was beautiful. Any other songs? Anything else you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
There's a song we like to sing together. By the way, that was beautiful, Justy. Thank you very much. Joshy, I'm getting you mixed up with my grandson. Well, you are my grandson. Anyway, it goes, 'tis love that makes us happy. 'Tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind. It makes us kind to others every day. God is love. We're His little children. God is love. We should be like Him. And when our life is over and we are called above, our song shall be eternally of Jesus and His love.
Amen. If ye have the Son, the seed Jesus within you, ye have life. If ye have not the Son of God, no seed in you, you will not see life. Jesus is the key. He's the seed to eternal life. Thank you, Savior. Dear ones, any final thoughts, comments before we close today's service? please feel free. And you also, dear sister, and everyone, have a blessed remaining Sabbath and a blessed new week. And I pray that your growing in grace with Jesus will be even more day by day. And when we meet again, it'd be wonderful to hear what you and the Lord have accomplished. Until then, dear ones,
keep looking up, our God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest clouds will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking. Oh.